And on Tuesday, of course, we had election night. Not just any election night, turned out to be possibly the closest Chapel Hill Town Council race in town history, with 4th, 5th, and 6th place candidates separated by just 37 votes with the preliminary numbers in. Votes still being counted, and we're not quite done with this election. So very, very tight race in Chapel Hill. A lot of significant races also across the triangle and across the state and across the country. Tom Jensen, the director of public policy polling, was with us through the evening on Tuesday night following all these numbers as they came in, and he joins us again on the phone now to break down the results from election night 2019. Tom, thank you so much for being with us today.
Hey, Aaron, good to be with you.
And you can find out more on public policy polling online at publicpolicypolling.com. So let's start locally. We spent a lot of time focusing on the Chapel Hill Town Council race, and again, extremely tight race between 7 very strong candidates. A lot of focus on Ty Wynn, Nancy Oates, and Sue Hunter now, as they're separated by just a handful of votes for that 4th and final spot on the council. But all 7 candidates polling very close to each other. What do you make of the results from 2019?
Well, Chapel Hill obviously is a monolithically Democratic city, pretty much. But what the results on Tuesday night showed is that at the municipal level, we do have sort of a divided two-party system. We've talked a lot about how this was a very strong field, 7 candidates, all very serious candidates who really took the campaign seriously and did a good job. But the other thing that all 7 of them had in common was that they fell onto the slate endorsed by one organization or the other. CHALT, the Chapel Hill Alliance for a Livable Town, has been around for 3 election cycles now and endorsed 4 of the candidates. This year, for the first time, NEXT endorsed 3 of the candidates. And what we found was that the town is basically pretty evenly divided between those two groups. 2 of the candidates endorsed by CHALT appear to have won. 2 of the candidates endorsed by NEXT appear to have won. And when you add up the average vote for each of the CHALT candidates and each of the NEXT candidates and sort of treat it as a two-party vote, CHALT candidates got 52% of the vote on average. NEXT candidates got 48% of the vote on average. So that shows that we're very closely divided between these two factions that have sort of risen up in town politics over the last 2 cycles.
2015 was a really good year for CHALT endorsed candidates. Mayor Pam Heminger, of course, pulling off the upset of Mark Kleinschmidt in the mayoral race that year. 2017, if I remember right, was a clean sweep for CHALT endorsed candidates. This year, as you mentioned, much more closely divided. Is that a sign that the electorate in Chapel Hill has changed a little bit in the last 2 years, or is there some other factor at play here? This was the first election cycle where NEXT actually endorsed candidates and actively campaigned on behalf of candidates. Was that the factor there?
Yeah, in 2017, there really was no active opposition to CHALT. So they did get all their endorsed candidates in, but a big part of that was just sort of a lack of real opposition. There were a couple of incumbents on the ballot, but they weren't associated with any sort of broader organization. They were just sort of doing their own thing. This year was sort of a much more even fight in terms of the tactics that each group were using to go door to door for their candidates, to have greeters at the polls on behalf of their candidates and those sorts of things. And one thing that this new dynamic in Chapel Hill politics has done is really increase the engagement level in the community, which I think is a healthy thing no matter which side you support. I think one of the most amazing things that we discovered as we were sort of breaking down the results on Tuesday night is that Renuka Soul, the last place finisher this year, with the number of votes she got, would have been the first place finisher in the 2013 town council election before this sort of division rose up. So even though there's a decent amount of dissension in town politics that is sort of driving this, it's also getting a lot more people involved in the process. The level of voter turnout in our local elections has gone up a huge amount over the course of this decade.
Speaking with Tom Jensen again, publicpolicypolling.com for more on public opinion locally, statewide, and nationally. And you can also find him on Twitter at PPPpolls. One of the things that we talked about quite a bit on Tuesday night, and this was kind of a fascinating thing for me to hear you talking about this, and Mark Chilton was with us as well, sharing a lot of information about this as well, not just for 2019, but for the history of elections in Chapel Hill, is that a bit of a divide between the downtown or closer to downtown precincts and the precincts that are a little bit further out in, I think Mark Chilton referred to it as the core and the periphery of Chapel Hill, a little ways away from downtown. That was a fascinating thing for me because I hadn't really seen that or been aware of it before. But say more about that, because that's not just the 2019 thing. That's something that's appeared in previous elections as well, right?
Yeah, basically the candidates associated with Next do the best closest to downtown, and then the further south you get from downtown, the better the Chalk candidates do. So at various points through the night, when we looked at what precincts were remaining, we could say with relative confidence that Nancy Oates is going to do well in Cedar Falls and Patterson on the very northern part of town. Ty Wynn's going to do better in places like Lincoln and Northside that are in the very center of town. And that's a dynamic that sort of perpetuated itself in both the early vote results, where Next candidates did pretty well at Chapel of the Cross right next to campus, did pretty well at Carrboro Town Hall, those early voting sites. But then Chalk candidates were dominant at the Seymour Center. We saw similar dynamics on Election Day. But I'll actually tell you something that we never got a chance to talk about Tuesday night that has become really fascinating to me. And if anybody knows a good answer to this question, call WCHL and tell them. And Aaron, you tell me.
I will.
The one exception to candidates sort of from Chalk doing better on the edge and candidates from Next doing better in the middle was that Ty Wynn beat Nancy Oates by 80 votes in Dogwood Acres, which is the Southern Village precinct. And I thought when we had just a few precincts left that Nancy Oates was going to be pretty safe because, generally speaking, sort of Chalk-aligned candidates have done well in that southernmost precinct in town. Instead, it turned out to be, I think, the precinct where Ty Wynn beat Nancy Oates by the largest raw vote margin of any precinct in the whole city. I've asked some people who are sort of more keyed in on local politics than I am if they know why they think there was such a huge divide there, and I haven't really gotten answer about it. So that's something that would be very interesting to me because in some ways that precinct was the difference maker in the election, and it was something that didn't go along with sort of the general trends that we saw throughout town.
At that point in the night, we were focusing really heavily on Ty Wynn and Nancy Oates specifically because they were running neck and neck for that fourth and final spot. Was that, and I don't know if you have this number off the top of your head, but was that number, or was that result in Dogwood Acres specifically Ty Wynn versus Nancy Oates thing, or was that more generally Next candidates doing better than Chalk candidates?
That's very specifically Wynn versus Oates. Mm-hmm. Ty Wynn got, I think, 280 votes there, and Nancy Oates only got about 200. And certainly in a race that was decided by such a small number of votes, that was a big difference maker. And what makes it so interesting is just that it doesn't fit with those overall trends that we saw for the most part in the precinct numbers. Another interesting angle from Tuesday night is that Nancy Oates actually won the vote in Orange County over Ty Wynn by one vote, but something that people often forget, even media outlets that aren't WCHL in town, is that there are two precincts in Durham County that are actually part of Chapel Hill. And Ty Wynn beat Nancy Oates by 25 votes, and that was the difference maker. So that was sort of an interesting thing. And then another interesting thing is that Ty Wynn finished fifth in early vote, and he finished fifth on Election Day, but he finished fourth overall. So there are all sorts of unusual, weird little factoids about this election.
You mentioned that on election night, and I was thinking, man, game theorists everywhere must be jumping for joy over that one. So speaking with Tom Jensen, so all of that is about what happened on election night and what it means about where Chapel Hillians stand politically. What are your thoughts about what it means for the next 2 years for Chapel Hill Town Council? Are we going to see any significant change in votes or the way that Town Council does business?
Well, I think that one big picture observation we made Tuesday night really holds true in the answer to that question, which is that even though we're having these seriously contested elections between two factions that I think don't like each other very much, at the end of the day, the goals that these factions have and that the town council members who have been endorsed by each of these groups have aren't really that different. We're really sort of fighting over shades of gray here. The big picture things that I think these two groups want for the community is pretty similar. There are obviously different opinions about how to get to those goals, but at the end of the day, there's, I think, a lot more commonalities in what everybody in town wants than there are differences. So I don't expect to all of a sudden have a more contentious town council or start to have a bunch of 5-4 votes on key issues and stuff like that. One thing that we said was that all of the candidates, whether they won or not, were very serious people. And I think that everybody who's on there will sort of conduct themselves in a mature manner, and that we'll have a council that will probably, for the most part, work together to set the community on the right path.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, got to wrap up here in a second, but let's pull the camera back and take a look at the other results from 2019. Obviously, so much focus on Chapel Hill Town Council locally, but a lot of other key races across Orange County, across the Triangle, the state, and some pretty big elections nationwide, including Virginia and Kentucky. What did you make of the whole night, and what might that mean for 2020?
The big question going on into Tuesday night was whether the blue wave that we saw nationally in 2017 and 2018 was still here or not. And I think we got a pretty clear answer Tuesday night that the answer to that is yes. In Kentucky, Democrats were able to flip the governor's office, even in a state that voted for Donald Trump by 30 points. Mississippi Republicans were able to hold on to the governor's office, but they only won the governor's race by 5 points in a state that Trump won by 18 points. So we saw huge ground gain for Democrats on Tuesday night, even in areas that have been pretty bad for them in recent years. And then the other big thing we saw was that Virginia Democrats were able to flip control of both the state house and the state senate. So they now have a trifecta in state government with the governor's office in both chambers of the legislature. That was largely due to Democrats picking up a huge amount of suburban seats. And that really speaks, I think, to the most important national trend heading into 2020, is that things are just getting worse and worse and worse for Republicans in suburbia. And a lot of the time, what happens in Virginia one year happens in North Carolina the next year. So I think the strong result that Virginia Democrats had on Tuesday night could augur well for Democrats in North Carolina in 2020.
Get more numbers online at publicpolicypolling.com and find them on social media on Twitter at PPPpolls. Tom Jensen, as always, thank you so much for being with us today, and thank you so much for having been with us for the whole night on Tuesday night.
Well, thank you, WCHL, for all you do for our community.